Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season. Welcome to the Barbecue Nation. That's me, Jeff Tracy, or JT. I said I'd only say that once. I guess I said it twice now, so that's it. Anyway, we've got a great show lined up for you today. Coming to us live and direct from Washington, D.C. Now, do you think anybody back there knows something about food? This young lady does. Christina Bowe. Christina is from the Office of Public Affairs and Consumer Education, United States Department of Agriculture. That's a big title. Well, welcome to the show, Christina.
Thanks. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Now, for full disclosure, we got to say you're not from Washington, D.C. You grew up in Louisiana and you went to school at Texas A&M. Is that correct?
That's true. I'm an Aggie, so I know a lot about grilling, a lot about barbecue.
That's our girl. Okay, so your job back there is to inform the public about grilling safety.
Right. I work for the food safety education staff within that long office you so eloquently stated, and we teach consumers how to avoid food poisoning. So right now, summer just started, and we're concentrating on summertime food safety. What does everybody like to do? They like to go outside and grill, so we want to make sure they're doing that safely.
Well, one of the things you could do for food safety is stay away from my great aunt's deviled eggs. That's a real safe bet right there.
Oh, Lord.
So what are one of the biggest things you see when you're instructing people and educating people, and I'm sure you get out in the field from time to time in your own personal experience, the biggest thing you see about people grilling, kind of making a few amateur mistakes, if you will, that can lead to a trip to the couch or the hospital?
Well, one of the biggest things that consumers sometimes forget to do is to use a food thermometer. It's really important, especially if they're experienced cooks. They think, oh, I can look at it and know that it's cooked and it's safe to eat. You can't see bacteria that makes you sick, like salmonella or E. coli. The only way to know for sure that your food is safe to eat is if you use a food thermometer. And, you know, we have a great method. It's called the Pro Method. So you can grill like a pro.
Yay.
P-R-O. P, place the thermometer in the meat. You want to put it in the thickest part of the meat. R, read the temperature. Beef, pork, lamb, veal, those kind of things should be cooked to 145 degrees with a 3-minute rest time. Things like ground meat, hamburger. I love hamburgers on a hot summer day. Those should be cooked to 160 degrees. And then all poultry, so chicken and turkey, should be cooked to 165 degrees. And then the last step is O, off the grill. You want to make, whenever it's cooked to its proper temperature, make sure to put it on a clean plate, not one that held raw meat, and you're good to go.
You know, what you just spoke of there, clean plate, raw meat, seasoning, I see a lot of that. I get invited to a lot of people's barbecues, but usually they want me to cook. That's the only reason they invite me. You know, it's not because of my charming personality. But I do see them when they come out, you know, and they come out and they bring me this big tray with some steaks or burgers or whatever it is on it, chicken. And you cook them or you put them on the grill and, you know, the plate goes away and you come back pretty soon and it hasn't been washed off yet. And there's still some seasoning on it. And the, you know, juices from whatever product you have on there. And you've kind of got to educate these people to go back in there. It's clean it up, wash it off. You know, even if you're going to rinse it off with you know, 150, 175 degree water and wash it off. That's better than nothing. I mean, you should wash it with soap and water, but I would.
Yes, you should definitely wash it with soap and water. I had an uncle that would put the steaks on the grill and then wipe the plate with a paper towel. And that's awful. You know, that's exactly how you get people sick. The best thing to do is to just get a new plate, you know, no harm, no foul. Just put the dirty one in the dishwasher and get a new one. And then you're certain that it's clean and certain that it's safe.
I work on television part-time as a cook. And a couple of the people that I've worked with over the years, they are, I would say, more than concerned. I would say it's on the verge of paranoia about chicken. And when you're cooking chicken, and if the chicken touches anything but, well, on TV, you know, we're using a frying pan or a broiling pan or something. But if that raw chicken touches anything else but that, I've actually had them where they wouldn't even touch it, not alone eat it, but they wouldn't touch it because they were afraid they were going to get salmonella or something.
Yeah, salmonella is a big deal. That's why chicken should be cooked to 165 degrees. It's the highest temperature. A lot of recipes, for example, say, like, cook the chicken until the juices run clear. You know, using a food thermometer is the best method. And for handling chicken in the kitchen, even before you put it on the grill, you want to make sure that you keep it away from all of the ready to eat, like fruits and vegetables or bread, off of your surfaces, and sanitize anything that the chicken comes in contact with, especially washing your hands with warm water and soap for at least 20 seconds. That's a really good defense method as well.
You mean you don't want to use the medieval tactics of just kind of throwing it all in a pot and have at it in an hour or so?
So, like, putting everything together, a lot of people cook kebabs and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great way to barbecue and celebrate barbecue. I love kebabs. But if you're cooking things all together, then it's okay. As long as that chicken reaches 165, then everything else that it touched is okay if it's being cooked as well.
So what do you do with guys like me who will say, and let's switch gears, we'll come back to chicken in a minute. But steaks or large pieces of red meat, we look at it and say, pull it off at 125 and let it rest. And that's not meeting that 20-degree criteria, that difference there. But they do continue to cook because they're hot. So it will go ahead and the internal temperature will raise a little bit. But that's probably not meeting your recommended standards. And now that's for me personally, because I tend to like them kind of rare, medium rare. But I have a lot of people that are in my family and friends that unless they look like a burnt Reebok, they won't eat it. So
I hate steak that's overcooked as well. I usually like mine about medium, a hot pink center,
mm-hmm.
but I like. And when I use a food thermometer at 145, it turns out to be a medium when I cook it. So it's different for every type of steak. You know, some are grass-fed, some organic. They all turn different colors at different temperatures. But using a food thermometer, I mean, it's the best way, especially if you have people in your family that have weakened immune systems, like someone who's pregnant or a child under 5 or an older adult. Those are really the people that you have to consider when you're cooking steak. People like us with healthy immune systems, you know, we don't really lose a day at work or we don't have to go to the hospital if we eat something that's undercooked. But people with weakened immune systems, those are the ones you really have to worry about. And that's why we recommend those temperatures.
Now, when I grew up, my dad liked everything just shoe leather brown. I guess that's the way they did it on the farm when he grew up. But my mom never cooked a steak that was medium rare. It was always brown all the way through. So that became my love affair with Worcestershire sauce because I would just soak it in there so it actually had some flavor. And my mom was a really good cook. Real quickly, before we go to break here, does the selection of beef, you were just talking about grass-fed versus, you know, a choice cut, so to speak. Does that affect the recommended finish times?
It doesn't, because the 145 is actually the number that kills the E. coli. So E. coli on beef, no matter where the beef comes from, is going to be killed at 145 degrees Fahrenheit.
All right. We're going to be back with Christina Bowe from the USDA right here on Barbecue Nation after these words. Don't go away.
Hey, somebody turn the sound up. Gonna get wound up at the roundup. Wild West is gonna get wilder tonight. White hats, black hats, cowgirls and outlaws, two-step line dads and the fastballs. Wild West is gonna get wilder tonight. Yeah.
Welcome back to Barbecue Nation with JT. That is me, your host, and we are coming to you from beautiful downtown Portland in the KXL radio studios, but you can also hear us on the Radio Northwest Network. I'd like to say hi to a couple of our affiliates down the line, KACI in the Dalles and KMED in Medford. Thanks for listening today. We've got Christina Bowe, the public affairs specialist, and a girl that can cook, living in Washington, D.C., working for the USDA, and making sure those steaks are at 145 when you pull them off the grill. So I got to tell you, Christina, when you grew up, did your family adhere to these specs?
They did not. And honestly, I had to change a few of my own behaviors when I started working here, because I learned a lot just by being in this food safety education office. So I got to be honest with you. And I went back to Louisiana and I said, y'all are doing everything wrong. Y'all better listen to me. So it's surprising I'm still here to talk about it.
So when you were in Texas, did they change the way they grilled things in Texas versus Louisiana?
You know, down south, it's pretty much all the same. Traditions get passed on through the generations, and, you know, our food is so much different now than it was back then, so you really have to be aware of what you're doing to keep your guests safe.
Absolutely. Now, let's talk about pork a little bit. It's 4th of July is coming up, and, of course, you've got the burgers and dogs, but big stuff out here and big stuff in the South is pork butts, pork shoulders, and ribs. This girl knows what ribs are all about there. So when you're doing ribs, isn't it a little hard to stick that meat thermometer right in those bones?
It is. What you can do is stick it on the side and, you know, find a good slice of meat and stick it on the side, and that'll help you measure it as well.
So, again, what's the recommended temperature for pork and ribs?
For things like pork chops, pork butts, that should also be 145 degrees.
Okay.
With a 3-minute rest time.
We had some pulled pork last night. I don't think I let it rest, though, because we got right after it.
I love me some pulled pork.
Up here in the Pacific Northwest, sorry about this frog in my throat today. We are big on seafood up here, like you guys are down there in New Orleans. Did I say that right?
New Orleans, yeah.
New Orleans. It's like Louisville, not Louisville, or Louisville. But we are very big on, of course, fish up here, but we have a lot of shellfish. We do a lot of oysters. I do a lot of oysters on the grill. Learned some great recipes last time I was in Australia those people are crazy anyway, but they're a lot of fun. When you're doing a shellfish like that, what do you recommend?
We recommend that fish should be cooked to 145 degrees. And it's important that you cook all your shellfish all the way through, especially if you're serving people who might be pregnant or children under 5. That's when it's really dangerous for them to eat undercooked shellfish. Mm-hmm. So we recommend 145.
What about like large fillets of tuna, or we have a lot of salmon up here, a lot of halibut. You know, ours our fish up here tends to be a little meatier than other areas of the country.
Yeah, the salmon, tuna, anything like that, we recommend 145 degrees as well.
Okay. So you've got 145, which is a pretty standard recommendation as far as temperature, until you get to a bigger, like a big bird, like a turkey or a chicken or a pheasant, something like that?
Right. Any kind of poultry, so whole poultry, like a big roast chicken or chicken breast, even ground poultry, if you have a turkey burger or a chicken burger, those should be cooked to 165.
Okay.
That's because that salmonella is a little more dangerous.
So which of all those foodborne diseases is the most dangerous?
I would have to say that listeria is probably the most dangerous for people with weakened immune systems, for sure. Listeria, if you have someone who's pregnant at your barbecue or at your cookout, you really need to worry about them because they won't feel the symptoms of listeria, but it can break that barrier of the amniotic sac and affect the child, the unborn child. So that's really important to remember. Listeria is also, it survives in cold environments. So in the refrigerator, it thrives in those cold environments. So think when you have things like potato salad outside, when you keep things in your refrigerator for a long time, if you eat a cold hot dog, those are the kind of things you don't want to do so that you can avoid listeria. Other than that, I think E. coli is another really harmful one, especially because people don't cook their ground meat to 160. But again, using that food thermometer, it often helps you from overcooking your burgers. And so you can still have a nice juicy burger and not get E. coli.
What's the recommendation on mayonnaise? Because I know in Oklahoma, they've got a rule there that they can leave it out for 3 days. Because I've actually seen that. So what's the USDA's recommendation on mayonnaise and condiments?
Well, anything that's served cold. So, like, we use a lot of mayonnaise in our side dishes. Like you said, deviled eggs earlier, potato salad, those kind of things. When you're serving them outside, you don't want to let them sit out for more than 2 hours. And if the temperature outside is above 90 degrees, you don't want to let them sit out for more than 1 hour. I have a crazy Cajun aunt who makes the best potato salad you've ever had in your life. And growing up, she would just stir it every hour to keep it fresh. And she would stir the big pot of potato salad and be like, okay, baby, it's good to eat now. And that's not what you want to do. Stirring is not scientifically proven to get rid of any type of foodborne pathogen. So a good tip that we have is to just serve a little bit at a time, serve a small bowl, and keep the rest in the refrigerator or in the cooler.
All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to be back with Christina Bowe, and we're going to talk more about her crazy Annabella man and the potato salad and mayonnaise right here on Barbecue Nation right after this.
A high roller, even when the chips are down. To win her over, I'd see the tables turn around. She's ten.
All right, welcome back to the Barbecue Nation. Absolutely. We've got Christina Bowe with us today, the Public Affairs Specialist, big long title here, Office of Public Affairs and Consumer Education in the Food Safety and Inspection Service of the United States Department of Agriculture. How do you ever get that on a business card?
I know. I was just about to say, we have very long business cards.
I mean, is it kind of like come off a little scroll, like a little toilet paper roll?
Yes, exactly.
So your crazy Annabella aunt down there, she would just stir the potato salad?
Yes, and I mean, it was delicious, but I'm surprised I'm here. You know, Louisiana has some hot days, so that potato salad sitting out for hours at a time.
See, I think
not good.
I have a theory that growing up when I did, and I'm assuming I'm a little older than you are by about a couple of millennium, and everybody sitting here in the studio with me today, when we grew up, we didn't know about some of these things. We didn't know about meat temperatures, and we didn't know about listeria, and we didn't know about salmonella. I mean, if unless you were taking a biology class in college, you probably never heard of them. But we ate all that stuff, and I think it built up our immune systems because you either had to kind of get tough or die, you know, the way we did it.
Survival of the fittest.
Survival of the fittest. And so, you know, it never bothers me like when you go in, and if you go into a really good barbecue place, you know, like Franklin's down there in Texas or one of those places, and you see these nasty old smokers out back, and they're just covered in sauce and seasonings, and it's black and it's kind of tarry looking. Well, to me, that just kind of adds the ambiance. That's all I can tell you.
Yeah, I understand completely. We really concentrate on food safety in the home. So, you know, these are people that are serving their families and friends. Restaurants have a different set of food codes, so we won't touch on that, but we really concentrate on food safety in the home, where people might not be as trained as these, you know, big chefs who've been doing it for years.
Right. Well, and then there's the folks in Oklahoma. Now, if you're from Oklahoma, folks, don't get mad at me because I actually love Oklahoma, but I always like to tease them, too, back there. What are some of the things that you see come across your desk and the USDA is working on as a matter of course all the time to help improve food safety? I mean, you guys are doing studies, you're doing research. Does somebody come up to you and say, hey, we've just started importing, you know, pineapple from Paraguay, but there's a new bug and we don't know what it is. I mean, tell us about how you guys deal with those things.
We actually have a USDA meat and poultry hotline. It's made up of 6 or 7, food safety experts, you can call them. They're actually my next-door neighbors in the office. They're real people, and they answer the phone every day. And we get those kind of phone calls. I personally don't answer them, but we get those, you know, crazy phone calls. We get really serious ones, and they can answer any questions that anyone might have, whether it be about meat and poultry, fruit and vegetables, different types of food allergens, and their phone number is 1-888-MP-HOTLINE or 674-6854, and they're open Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Eastern Time, and they'd be able to answer any questions that someone might have.
All right, so we do a little fun thing here on the show. First of all, I want to ask you, what's your favorite barbecue? What do you like to grill or smoke? What do you like to do?
I love pulled pork sandwiches or ribs. Those are my favorite things. So I love pork.
Very good. Now, this is what we call our lightning round. You're really going to like this because I didn't tell you about this.
Oh, I'm ready.
Okay. You get about 10 questions here, and you got to give us your answers fairly rapidly. All right. And you just actually answered the first one, so we're going to go the next one. Do you prefer gas, pellets, charcoal, wood as a fuel source for your barbecuing?
Wood.
Okay. What do you consider aged beef? 1 week, 1 month, 2 months, 5 years?
1 month.
What's your favorite cut of meat?
Pork.
Pork. Yeah, you just said that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
How did you go from living in Louisiana over to College Station, to A&M? What made you do that?
I've always wanted to be an Aggie, and I got my Aggie ring.
You got your Aggie ring, and you got your boots on, too, I'm sure.
Got my boots all the time.
Okay. Back to you in the lightning round. Marinade or no marinade?
Marinade, definitely.
With booze or without booze?
It's always better with a little bit of whiskey, I guess.
Little safety point there. Boil it when you're done using it as a marinade, then you can use it as a glaze. You
know. Yes, exactly.
Okay, I can't ask you the next one because it's not... Well, I can ask you, but you won't answer it, I'm sure. It's boxers or briefs?
I pl- actually the 5th.
Okay. All right. What does your best day contain for activities?
I'm sorry, what?
What does your best day contain for activities for you? What do you do on your best day?
Oh, well, my best day, I like to sit out in the sun, have a little drink in my hand, and eat. I enjoy eating outside, so eating outside, enjoying the nice weather.
There you go. And what's your worst day?
The worst day is when I'm cooped up inside, raining, or it's cold. When it's snowing anytime in Washington, D.C., it's awful.
Okay. And the last question, your best advice for backyard grillers?
Backyard grillers should cook like a pro. P-R-O, use that thermometer. Place the thermometer in the meat, read the temp off the grill.
Do you actually use a thermometer, Christina?
I do use a thermometer, and they're very inexpensive. If you're looking for a good gift for Father's Day for that griller in your life, that's a great gift.
Yeah, it is. They can put them right in their pocket. Except mine usually end up going through the washing machine. That's unfortunate like that.
Yes.
When you're grilling, and we've talked about chicken, and we've talked about pork, which is your favorite, of course, and beef, and a little bit of fish. Is there anything else that you guys run across that people try to grill? I mean, like tofu. What's the temperature for tofu that has to be in the middle there?
I've never been asked that question. And because we just do inspection of meat and poultry, the FDA usually handles tofu.
Okay. Well, I can tell you it's tough because it goes right
through the
grill.
And I think that's a crime against barbecue.
I always thought tofu was just a crime against nature, unless it was in hot and sour soup if you're eating Chinese food. It's tough to grill. It goes right through the grate. It's really tough there. You were going to tell us one more story about your crazy aunt. I guess I can call her your crazy aunt down in Louisiana.
Oh, she's nuts. Everyone knows her. I won't say her name because I'll be disowned by my family, most likely. She's a big cook in the family, and I'm always calling her to make sure she cooks things correctly, and she usually thinks she knows more than I do, but, you know, they grew up cooking a different way, so one day I'll get to her.
It's my mission. Well, it's tough with those people that are kind of set in their ways. I know that I'm so flexible about things that, you know, you could always convince me. Christina Bowe from the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and, you know, you do a great job, and being a public affairs specialist is really
cool.
Thank
you.
And thanks for being on Barbecue Nation with us today.
Thank you so much. If anyone has any questions, they can call, again, our meat and poultry hotline at 1-888-674-6854 or visit foodsafety.gov.
Thanks, Christina. We're going to be back with Barbecue Nation and a special guest. Name's Curly. I don't see much curls, but he's going to be here. Coming right back. Welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm your host, JT. Before we get to our next guest, a couple of things on the agenda here. This weekend, if you're out in North Plains up here in the Portland area, they have the Smokehouse Summit, and that's put on by the Pacific Northwest Barbecue Association. Next weekend up in Prosser, Washington, it's another PNWBA event. That's up in the McKinley Springs Barbecue is up there. And then the Cowtown Cook-Off, if you're going to go over to Miles City, Montana. So if you're out traveling around and you want to check out some barbecue competitions and things, we will have it on the website because we're getting the website kind of whipped into shape. And I'll also tell you that my website, thecowboycook.com, a new one is going to be launched, I think, tomorrow. One more thing. The White House opened its first summit a couple days ago on Tuesday to fight antibiotic resistance. Why is this relevant? Because Oregon, the state of Oregon, is just getting ready to pass, and maybe they have already. I haven't read the news this morning. This antibiotic legislation that controls antibiotic use in animals for, you know, human consumption, particularly cattle and poultry. And the White House now wants responsible antibiotic use. Antibiotic use, however you want to pronounce it. The Food and Drug Administration also announced Tuesday that it has finalized changes to a regulation laying out what veterinarians must do when they authorize the use of antibiotics in livestock. So I have my own opinions on this. And, you know, if you have any, you can email us at barbecuenation@kxl.com. And you can let us know your thoughts on that. We will be bringing somebody in here in a week or so to be talking about that once the legislation here in Oregon gets finalized. But when they talk about responsible use of anything coming out of the White House or the government, you know, no picking on Christina, our previous guest, but I always question that. Let's just put it that way. My next guest, he's probably going to be a regular on this show from time to time. We call him Curly. His name is Jason Schumacher. I'm just having a tough time with my words today. Jason is from Hometown Hearth and Grill over in Happy Valley, and welcome.
Yeah, thank you. How you doing?
I'm doing great, now that you see how all this radio stuff works. The reason you're here, besides that you're a great guy and, you know.
Right.
It is that time of year when people have had their grills pretty much sitting on the back porch. They may have tried to break them out, off and on over through the course of the spring, but now the nice weather is pretty much here to stay for the next, 4 days, like it is in Oregon.
Right.
And even one of my neighbors leaned over the fence and said he was having trouble with his grill. Couldn't get it to one of the burners to heat properly and that. So you're our resident barbecue expert as far as the mechanics and that. What should people be doing, first of all, when they first take the cover off that grill, if they have a cover on it, and they're looking at it, what should they be looking at?
You want to make sure that it's cleaned, kind of go through it, light it up, see if all the burners light, if it lights at all. A lot of things that go wrong over the winter is putting it away dirty. If you burn it off when you're done cooking, you burn all the salt and the grease off all that metal. That's really what erodes most barbecues. It's really not the weather. It's the salt and the grease in our marinades, our steaks. And
what if they can't get the burners to come up? Now, my neighbor was saying, he got one that the flame was very small and the other one was pretty high. And on a normal, I guess he would assume that was normal there. Is there moisture in those burners or is it just, again, dirt? Could it be a multiple of things?
There's a multiple of things. Mainly, usually if you have a barbecue that usually you can get up to 450, 500 degrees and you turn it on one particular day and it's not going to get past 150, 200.
Right.
There's on a gas grill, this is gas we're talking.
Right.
You've tripped the check valve on your tank or your hose and regulator. And you basically just leave everything hooked up, shut it off, shut the tank back down, leave everything hooked, let it sit for a couple seconds, turn the tank back open real slow, then try to relight your barbecue. Usually that's what it is. There's safety systems in there, and it's just not allowing the gas through.
Huh. I didn't know that.
Yeah, we get that a lot during the summer.
I bet you do.
Usually about... on a busy summer day, sometimes 10, 15 times a day, that same question. So it's a lot of people are worried thinking they're doing something wrong, but they're not the only ones out there. It happens a lot.
Well, you see a lot of people here that they don't grill over the wintertime, or they might if it's cold but not rainy. But, we have very short days as far as sunlight, and they really don't want to go out. They may not be set up for it on their patio or wherever they have their barbecue, have enough light to work with, and they're not comfortable just going, 4 minutes aside or whatever like that. So, we were just talking to Christina Bowe from USDA, and you were sitting here. What about leaving that crud and that grease? I mean, I've opened up grills and my own and seen mold.
Yeah. The mold's from leaving the crud and the grease in there.
Yeah.
I get a lot of people that say, hey, I'll turn it up on high before I cook. You want to do that when you're done cooking and not let it sit in there.
All right. Now, Jason, don't go away because we're going to bring you back next week, but I'm not letting you out of that chair until then. But we're going to wrap up the show here. I'd like to thank my guest, Christina Bowe from the U.S. Department of Agriculture, food specialist. We will have that phone number on our website. And also Jason Schumacher here from Hometown Hearth and Grill. We're going to have him back next week. Don't forget to check out the new cowboycook.com website, and we will have some more information about upcoming shows on the KXL version of the Barbecue Nation website. Until that time, I am Jeff Tracy. Keep your hands out of the fire if you're a smart person. And I'd like to thank the hitman Court Johnson here for doing a great job on the show. Until next week, take care of yourself, and we'll see you then.
And it burns, burns, burns.